Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ray Paquette. I am the duty elder. And for you who are visiting our church this morning, welcome. And please sign the guest book by the front door as you're leaving. The announcements are all in the bulletin, and I draw your attention to them. There aren't many this week, but however, there are a few. Reverend McNash?
Yes, I just want to ask everybody, make sure you look through the bulletin to cover off all these announcements that are here. I want to welcome everybody on this Mother's Day Sunday. Also, as Ray pointed out earlier, it's Nursing Day today, too. So although we have nurses, I know, in our congregation, so thank you to all the nurses for all the work you do for us and have done for us over this last lifetime, maybe in so many ways. Let's now just take a moment to prepare our hearts for worship. Light the Christ candle on this Easter season that we're still within. Well, as a symbol of Christ's presence and resurrection in our service this day. Now we'll call to worship.
The responsive call to worship is printed in your bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Blessed and honored is yours, O God.
Glory to God forever. Hallelujah.
The first hymn is number 11, The Lord is My Shepherd.
Please be seated. There was one announcement that I forgot to mention, and that is that there's no fellowship following our service today. We're going directly out because some people have much that they plans, I'm sure, that they'll be taking care of this afternoon. So our fellowship time will pick up again next week. This is the time when we come before God with our prayers of adoration, confession, and followed with the Lord's Prayer. It's an important part of our service, and it's important, so important that it's pretty much the first thing that we do as in our service. And in that sense, I point out quite often, and it's an intentional thing that I do, This idea of confession is for us to be reflecting on how we've spent our last week in particular. And, you know, this going astray, and we're still continuing this week with the idea of sheep and going astray and all that sort of thing, and the many analogies around shepherding. This is the time for us to consider those moments when we have strayed, when our thoughts have not been the thoughts that God wants us to have, that our thoughts are not the thoughts of Christ. But it's also, as I say, to start with, a time where we thank God for His many blessings. So let's bow our heads in prayer. God, You are present always to guide us on our journey. You are eager to forgive us when we stray. So we come before You this day, Lord, to thank You for an everlasting love that You have for us. A love, by definition, just doesn't end. It's not conditional. It is a love that is just there. It doesn't require anything from us other than to accept it. And You give us this love daily. You bless us with so much in our lives. Sometimes we forget those things. And sometimes we forget to thank You for them. So we do come before You with that thanks for Your love, Your kindness, and the blessings in our life. But we also come before You, God, to confess that there have been times we've strayed from Your paths, the path of right relationship, not only with You, but others, the path of right peace, not only with You, but with others. It's hard sometimes, Lord, to repent of these hurtful things that we choose to do and say, that we choose to leave out sometimes. But we do come before You with a repentant heart, a heart and an attitude that is set to turn around the other direction. That's what repent is all about, to stop going in the direction that we are going in and to choose a new path, and that's Your path. And it's You that strengthens us and guides us. It is You that gives us the forgiveness and space, if you like, to say, okay, let's change direction. So help us to not only at this point, Lord, come before You to say those words in our mind, but to actually think of moments in our life in the last week when there's been a time where we've said or done something, or we've not said or omitted something that we shouldn't have. Help us to think of those moments. Be that guide of our feet into this path of repentance and walking in Your path. Lord, we thank You for this forgiveness. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask and dare even come before You about it. And so now, Lord, we come together and we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, God's mercy overflows as a healing spring to cleanse us of all offenses, those times when we strayed. Therefore, know that we are all forgiven and are new creations in Christ. Amen. Here you are. She's been hiding back there. Thank you, men. That was lovely. And we appreciate you being up front and when forming the male part of the choir for this morning. And you were encouraging them maybe to stay there. And that's why we didn't process in. We've locked you in. I'm looking all of you in the eye just like Renata did. And maybe somebody will join and stay for some time. That's good. Thank you very much. It's a wonderful blessing. We'll now join together for our children's hymn, Jesus, Friend of All the Children, number 656. And during the second verse, let the children come forward for a time together. Seated. Last Sunday, we were talking about sheep, and this Sunday we'll be reading, it's our first hymn, good morning everyone, how are you? We sang as our first hymn, The Lord is My Shepherd, and we'll be reading the 23rd Psalm this morning. And normally I follow what's called the lectionary, which gives a set of readings that we use every Sunday. And the lectionary reading today is, we're not using it, but I wanted to reference it for you guys. And the lectionary reading today comes and says about Jesus talking about his sheep know his voice. And when I was thinking about that particular scripture and those words, this picture came to my mind. Now you guys don't even know what this is all about, I'm sure. Yeah, everybody up there does. There's a dog. Yeah, they're all nodding their heads. First of all, that's what that thing that the dog is looking at is called a Victrola, made by the RCA company, the RCA Victor company. And it's a record player. Now, you know what a record player is, because I'm sure, yeah. Well, it's a different kind of record player, because if you look closely, there's a round thing there, right? You see that? It looks like... That's what the record looked like. It wasn't flat. It was like a cylinder. And you put the cylinder on there, and the needle, and that big thing the dog's looking at is the speaker, big cone, like a megaphone. And RCA Victor's idea was, our recordings are so good that even this dog would know his master's voice. And that's what made me think of that from the scripture with Jesus, that sometimes we need to listen extra hard to be able to hear our master's voice. And that's what this dog is doing in this picture. In the ad, his master will be saying his name. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
No, I popped up, or did he just find a funny picture of a dog?
Nope, I knew about the RCA Victor logo from a long time ago, and it's been their logo ever since. This is a photo of that ad, but they used to draw the picture, and that became the logo for the company. And the idea is that the dog is listening to his master, and even on their records, the dog knows his master's voice. And that we need to be listening for Jesus' voice in our hearts, and in the life and actions that we participate in and other people do for us. So in effect, we're hearing Jesus' voice when we do kindness to one another, and we're nice to each other, and we do the things that God wants us to be doing and caring for one another. Okay? Let's have a little prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd be with these folks today as they go off to Sunday school. Help them to learn what it is to hear your voice and to recognize it, to understand what it is to follow the Good Shepherd. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Off you go to Sunday school. We'll sing the last verse of our hymn and we'll remain seated as we do. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, as I referenced already, 23rd Psalm is one of the readings from today. I'd like us just to invite the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds. Let's just bow our heads for one moment in prayer. Shepherd of our souls, you call us to an abundant feast at the table of your word. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to feed on your goodness, that your power may dwell more deeply within all of us because of this. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Our responsive reading is Psalm 23, and it's found in the Psalters in your pews. We'll be reading from the King James version of that. The Lord is my shepherd. If we say that, pretty much everybody finishes the sentence with, I shall not want. It's very familiar, this psalm. It's one that's known in the church and outside the church. It's probably one of the most famous sort of biblical quotes around, and it is the 23rd Psalm. Just wanted to point out, this is a very short psalm. It's talking about shepherding. It's talking about sheep, which we talked a little bit about last week, and we'll continue to do a little bit this week. There's some transitions that take place, and they're minor, but they're important. Verse 4 starts that transition, because as we read the psalm, it's addressing the person of God, but then suddenly at verse 4, it starts talking personally to God. You are with me. And we'll see these transitions take place as it goes. The voice changes, if you like, and it's, I think, important for us to understand that it's talking about God, it's talking to God, and it's talking about my relationship with God in the end. This anointing of oil and dwelling in the house of the Lord are all part of that. The anointing with oil is something that was held for the coronation of a king in the time of David. And I think that it represents that there's a promise of us being treated royally, so to speak. The translation at the end that we're familiar with, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, a more literal translation of that would be, I will return to the house of the Lord for many days. The place from which we came is the place from to which we return, is what's implied there, back in the presence and in the hosted by God. Let's read that together, Psalm 23, Ray.
Psalm 23, reading in unison. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lead down the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for the same thing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Ray. Our Old Testament reading, which is currently been taken from the New Testament, because during this season of Easter, we're reading from Acts by lectionary prescription. And this is a story that has two points to it in so many ways, if it's read in its entirety. And the little clip that we're reading about today is put there because it's talking about a particular woman who was a follower of Christ and talking about the wonderful things in which she was doing. She had her own business. It was more than just doing a nice thing for Peter and making the things that she was doing. She was devoted to good works, it says, in acts of charity. But it's also citing a miracle that Peter performed and showing the power in this acts of the disciples. So this is from Acts 9, beginning in verse 36. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside and he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. And our New Testament reading today is taken from Revelation 7. It's talking more about the lamb that merits worship. We're in that theme still of shepherds and lambs and sheep. And this reading is continuing on from what we had last week. It's also restating something that was quoted from Revelation 5. So Revelation 7, beginning at verse 9. "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' And then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?' I said to him, 'Sir, you are the one that knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Our gospel reading today is, as I mentioned with the children's time, is not from the lectionary particularly. It's two that I've picked specifically for this day, and they are from Luke and John. And the first reading is the beginning of Jesus' life. I'm starting actually at verse 6. "While they were there," that's Mary and Joseph, "the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart." And now we go to the other end of this story, and it's extreme as we read from John chapter 19. "Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, 'Woman, here is your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home." This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, 691, "My Shepherd is the King of Love." Please be seated. Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people. Holy Spirit, open our ears and eyes, our hearts, to your word this day. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Mother's Day, I tell jokes, because, you know, these are things you can take home and say around the table when you're doing whatever you're going to be doing. And I had a list here of things that your mother would probably never say, especially when you were a kid. Things like, how on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? Get closer. Yeah, I used to skip school a lot, too. Oh, just leave the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. That one came back to bite me with my own daughter one time, and I left the light on in her apartment, and she gave me heck for, do you know how much a hydro costs? And I have no idea. Another thing your mother would never say, let me smell that shirt. Oh, yeah, that's good for another week. Go ahead. Well, if Bobby's mom says it's okay to jump off that bridge, that's good enough for me. Their curfew, by the way, is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison or anything around here. And, I don't have a tissue with me. Go ahead, just use your sleeve. Mothers would never say that. But I do have one for grandparents I wanted to say, too. For two solid hours, the lady was sitting to a man next to her on an airplane and told him all about her grandchildren. She even had a ton of photos on her smartphone of all 9 children, complete with little hearts and kissy emojis all over them. And she finally realized that she'd been dominating the entire conversation about her grandchildren. Oh, I've done all the talking. I'm so sorry. I'm surely you have something to say. Please tell me, what do you think of my grandchildren? Well, it's Mother's Day, and it's a happy Mother's Day is a phrase we're going to hear, probably have been hearing for the last week. And it's interesting, and I'm going to repeat something I've said before to give some background to this, because it's important to understand that Mother's Day is supposed to be about our mothers. And it's changed that because of the card companies and all the various industries that are out there and turned it around a little bit. The modern idea of Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 by Anna Jarvis, and it was during a memorial she was having for her mother in West Virginia. It was her campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday. It started way back in 1905 for her, the year that her mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis, had died. Anna's mission was to honor her own mother by continuing the work that she had started and to set aside a day to honor mothers. The person who has done more for you than anyone in the world, as she put it. Anna's mother, Ann Jarvis, has a peace activist. Now remember, this woman lived just during and after the Civil War. She was a peace activist who had cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of that war and created a Mother's Day work club to address public health issues. This was a very active woman in the mid-1800s. Unbelievable in the way we hear things today that women did nothing. This woman did something very, very unique. This holiday is adopted by countries all over the world and whatnot, but in its original intention with Anna, she wanted everybody to spend the day writing a personal letter by hand expressing love and gratitude for your mother. And it's turned into something very different in so many ways. I've read this letter before. I'm not going to read the entire one. It's a letter written by Linda Joy Myers from recently, around 2017, I think it was, and it's entitled Everybody Has a Mother. And in this letter, this open letter, she's talking about how Mother's Day can be very difficult for lots of people because mothers often they're not with us anymore. But she's also pointing out that that this whole idea can be difficult for people because mothers are not always in every relationship the best that they can be and leave scars with their children sometimes. And Mother's Day can be tough in that respect. And in her own case, her mother left her when she was 4 and was repeating history because her grandmother left her mother when she was 6. And it was in this letter, her grandmother is now looking after her in that sense. Or she's looking after the grandmother, pardon me. And it's interesting that her perspective was that she felt that her mother was almost motherless in so many ways, and so Mother's Day was a difficult time. The entire concept of mother brings about a whole bunch of emotions, and it can be complex for us today, especially more complicated by the non-traditional family structures that we find ourselves in all the time. But also, it's about a relationship. It's really describing a relationship in so many ways. And I've read today the gospel readings from the beginning and story and ending story in the life of Jesus. And there's a reason for that. Mary was there in both instances. So Jesus' mother was there certainly when he was born. She had to be in that respect, I guess. But she was also there when he died. And I point out these readings today, not just to, you know, make that sad sort of thing about, you know, this mother watching her son die, but and it's not even really to focus entirely on Mary herself. The real emphasis was on the second part of that and the final statements of Jesus. It was on, and it's, so the focus is on Jesus as Mary's son. It struck me over this Easter season in particular, as I was reading the various Gospels and preparing for Easter and Good Friday and all of that stuff, that this particular reading struck me for some reason this year, this portion from John, where Jesus' focus, he's on the cross, he's nearly dead. He's suffered beatings, he's been up all night, as I pointed out, being accused of all these things, and there he is in his final, final moments. And what's he focused on? Not himself. He looks up and sees his mother standing there. And he wants to make sure she's well looked after. And that's what that whole episode is about. That scripture, when we read that part, "Woman, here is your son," he's not talking about himself. He's talking about John. "Woman, here is your son, John." And then he addresses John directly, "Here is your mother." It's an important thing in Jewish history to understand that this is almost a verbal will that Jesus is saying. That's why he addresses her as woman, not mom, not mother, not by any title at all. He's responsible for her because historically the understanding is at this point Joseph, his father, is dead. Mary's on her own. So Jesus' final thought is to make sure his responsibilities are well taken care of. So it's a formal address that he's making. The different books I've read about this, the formal address that he's making to state his will. "Woman, your son is right there. And son, this is now your mother." And it's an official declaration of his last will and testament in that sense regarding his mother's situation. Mary being there also is a fulfillment of Simeon's prophecy. If you remember, before Jesus was born, "This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. A sword shall pierce through your own soul also." And as she stood there, I'm sure that's what happened. But Jesus' thought, again, was following the commandment for children to honor their parents. It goes beyond that of obedience, because that's often what we think of. We think of having to obey our parents, but Jesus now had grown up. He was beyond that obedience period in his life, and now honoring meant something different. He's looking after her needs. He's caring for her in the best way he possibly can. As I said, Jesus addresses his mother not as mother, but as woman, and translated appropriately in the NIV, he addresses her as "dear woman." And then this is this formal declaration that he's made. As Mary's firstborn, Jesus is legally responsible for her welfare and to ensure that she has a place to live and food to eat during her widowhood, because she would have no income in those days. There was no money coming from the government like we might have today, nothing. Jesus entrusts his mother's care to John, and as it says, from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You know, that song we just sang, "My Shepherd is the King of Love," Jesus is the shepherd for all of us, and his love goes that far. It goes beyond that even, but it goes that far. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Here is your son." He said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And I reflected back again, as I was putting this together, on those words that the shepherd spoke to Mary at the birth of Jesus, And I think she probably did it again. The same thing that happened at his birth. Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Mother's Day is a time for us to think about our mother. And I think, as I tried to point out in my newsletter this week that I sent out, that everybody here has a mother. And she may be with us now, she may not be with us. And Mother's Day is about honoring our mothers. It would be an interesting project for all of us to sit down and write a letter to our mother, whether she's here or not, to thank her for all the things that she's done, and handwrite it, not type it on the computer, and to take some time to put that together. The mother who gave you birth and therefore life, the mother or mother figure who raised you. We live in a time when the role of mother and father and parent is being redefined. It's being ignored. It's being challenged. We forget sometimes the important role our mother has played in our lives. We live in a time when the idea of family is being challenged and changed, whether we like that change or not. But the fact of the matter still remains, for this, so far, a male and a female make it possible for us to all be conceived. Science hasn't taken us away from that equation. So we all have a mother and a father in the mix somewhere, and most of us have had someone filling those roles for us as we've grown up. And then probably everybody in this room this morning can think quite vividly of the influence that our mothers have had on us as we've grown up. Jesus did what a child should do for their mother. He honored and he shepherded his mother. He made sure she was taken care of, even at his lowest point. My prayer today is that we all can remember this, his actions, the shepherd, the king of love, and remember the influences that our mothers had on us as we've grown up. And the last more light thought, I guess, in the end is we can all remember not being able to sit down because of the influence some of our mothers have had on us when we were a child. Let's think about that and let's have a little prayer. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you that they love us sometimes to the point where it gets painful. We thank you that for them, we are who we are because of them. It really is that what it is. And as our mothers age, we often switch roles, it seems, and we become the mothers. But we do this out of love. We do this out of honor and respect. And as I think of all the different people in this congregation, Lord, and I've heard the many different stories people have told, many, many of those stories have to do with mothers and how much mothers were loved and are loved, how much influence mothers have had in the lives of all of us. We thank you for that. And on this day, Lord, whether our mothers are with us or not, let us be thankful that we've had that wonderful influence in our life, whether it's a biological mother, an adoptive mother, or a mother, someone played the role of mother in our lives, helping us and teaching us. And we thank you and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's because God blesses us so much, and this is the time now for us to present our tithes and offerings to give thanks for not wanting in our lives. Gracious God, we do thank you for leading us in paths of righteousness and making it so that there is nothing we really want for. We ask that you bless this offering today, that it can be used to your glory and to further the kingdom of God in this world and in our community immediate. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The flowers that we have in the sanctuary today have been placed here lovingly by Dorothy Fabian in memory of past family members. And what a lovely tribute, especially on this particular day. And the rose that we have on the communion table celebrates the birth of a baby boy, Theodore Douglas Paddle, born on the 25th of April to parents Dave and Krista Paddle. And Theodore is the great-grandson of Walt and Lois. How many is that now?
Four.
You're thinking about that, Lois. Well, congratulations on that. That's lovely. We also want to remember in our prayers today, I got a call yesterday from Brenda Wasser at Shirley Moffitt's back in the hospital. Shirley has been struggling with some health issues over the last little while, but she is back in eMERGE. I don't want to go on about that too much because she's been in there for a few days. As it turns out, they're trying to find a bed for her. They don't know what's wrong with her, bottom line. Her calcium has been dropping, is the best they've been able to test for, and she's clearly not feeling very well, and so we want to keep her in mind. So that's Shirley Moffitt. Shirley sits at the back usually over there, I think, and she's, Brenda, yesterday when I was talking to her, said they don't know what's wrong. I think it's because she's 92, I think. Maybe it's catching up with her, but anyway, we'll keep her in mind. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you always for this time where we can be praying for others in our lives and in our congregation. And we do think of Shirley at the Moffitt at this particular time, and that she's trying to figure out what's wrong with her, that you can help the doctors to do that and get her back in our midst. But there's many others, Lord, who are not here today because they're struggling with illnesses, and we don't want to forget them. And the list is almost too long in one sense, and it's a struggle for all of us, as loving congregation we are, to know that that's in our midst. We also have people in our midst here today, Lord, that are struggling with illnesses and news that they've been recently given about different things happening. And it's not just a part of aging. It's striking everybody at every age, and from babies and right through to the elderly. So we pray for those immediate needs. And I also pray, Lord, because as I tried to mention in this sermon today, that this day in particular can be really hard on a lot of people for all kinds of reasons. And we want to celebrate, aside from the card companies making money, we want to celebrate the various people in our lives. And sometimes we forget that that also has a ripple effect that is hard, makes it hard on people. It's just like even Christmas can be difficult for people. And I think, Lord, the relationships that you've given us in our lives, whatever they may be, and whoever they may be, when they're not there, they're sometimes very difficult to think about. And so I pray for people today, Lord, that are feeling lonely, feeling left out of this particular day's celebrations. And I pray, Lord, that you will comfort them in whatever way they need. And have the people around them that they need to give them the support they need on this special day. Help us to, as I said, remember our mothers and love them as best we can. Lord, we pray for people in our lives. As I think of that circle that widens, we all have people in our lives that are desperate in need, whether it be emotional needs or physical needs or spiritual needs. And the spiritual side often is one we leave out. But when we're suffering spiritually, it does affect us in all these other areas. Lord, I thank you as well for this congregation that faithfully has been offering names of people up. And we're going to do that again today. And you've been answering those prayers. So, Lord, we pray now that you will be with all these names that will be mentioned and the names that will be said silently. And we take a time now to do that, offering these names up to you. Thank you, Lord, for these names that have been out loud and silently offered. You accept them, and you are intervening, and we trust them to you. And help us to do that, Lord, because sometimes it's hard. It's hard sometimes to place things on the altar because we want to take them back down and try to deal with them ourselves. Help us to leave them there for you to take care of. And use us in whatever way we can be, Lord, to be your hands, your smile, and your love on this earth. All of this we offer in the name of Jesus, because that's what makes the difference. Amen. Join together now in our final hymn, number 485. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And I mean that by all. I love this hymn in particular because there's so much depth behind that phrase, like a shepherd, lead us. So Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, number 485. Man, I want to thank you for being the choir. I'm just sitting here just now thinking, something sounds very different. I don't, blessed Jesus! It's the men's choir. Thank you. It's very lovely to have you back there. Go forth, folks, and follow the paths of righteousness. Go forth to follow the paths of peace. And may God's goodness and mercy follow all of us as we serve the risen Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out, in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day as which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.